is that I had a chance to talk to people and had a chance to even talk to my wife, which is
don't ever talk to your wife.
Your wife should never have a big show or
important decisions, right? Even though Mary's a great gal.
Let me tell you what I had in mind, but you can see it in a broader scope than Hager's describing. This is the person, as you know, I've been trying to get you in this administration since the day we arrived.
Amen.
I wanted to get you in. I'll spend no favor to you, but basically you would help us. We need you around for a number of reasons, because first you're political, you're highly respected with the governor, you're respected with the press, and basically you leaven some of our more conservative people. We've done it. We leaven them a lot already, but I mean that you would help a great deal. Your point of view would help. I'm speaking now beyond this job we want you to do. Second, you have done some special things. You've done very well. I appreciate it. Hot potatoes. But basically, Bill, we need you 18 hours a day. This is culture. And we need you 18 hours a day on probably, although it won't appear that way except among the sophisticates and those who can't get gas in the pump, on the most important single issue that can affect the next 25 years, not only in America, but in Europe and Japan, that I know what you think. Now, it's the third point, and Al is not mentioning you, and Al don't tell him, because Henry Bill Cole is what I have in mind, he said. Tied deeply into this is the you went to and that's what you talk about, you know, and even-handed and so forth and so on. All the more events, the more even-handed. So anyway, which is my view, totally, I'm fascinated about the other way. The point is that just yesterday, the Libyans, you know, they confiscated Bunker Hunt, and more is to come. I'm scared that. What I have in mind, Al, is that if Bill does this job, he is the energy man. Now, let's say, okay, the difficulty of putting oil man in this job is that nobody will trust him. And oil men generally are crooked. I mean, crooked in no illegal sense, but they play for oil. And they're all their nerves. And you can't do it. Second, you can't put a fellow that knows nothing about it, whatever. This is basically, it's like Eisenhower's shape. I mean, Eisenhower may not have been the biggest, the best attack Eisenhower once told me. Was a much better field commander than he was. And he thought that Bradley was a better group commander than he was. But Eisenhower was the great politician that could pull them all together, and we need to prove that. There is a horrible fight in this administration. Horrible. I don't mean in the sense that they're ready to resign. George Shultz, who has signed, wants to handle energy. Rogers Martin is planning to handle it. He thinks he's going to handle it. The National Security Council wants to handle it. The Defense Department wants to get into it because they got elk hills and a lot of other things. And they're deeply involved. And, well, I can name there are five or six other agencies. Oh, the Atomic Energy Commission wants to handle it. So on. Now, I don't think big about this problem. For example, we've got to make it big. It comes across just energy. It goes into political. For example, the decision we make that I've got to make with Brezhnev on this iron gas deal, that gas is going to cost us too much. We're going to have to move one third of our XM bank money in order to finance it, help finance it. And it has many minuses. On the other hand, it's the biggest gas deal in the world. And eventually it'd be to our interest, not only economically, but probably in our interest politically. And we got to play game theory with our Japanese friends to get there. Second, what we got to take a hard look at, just brushing over things, so that you'll realize that you're not going to do some crappy little job, which I wouldn't ask you to do, after you're all rested. You got to take a hard look at antitrust laws. And I'll make a point of Collins' point, but the American flag carrier, yes, sir. My golly, we've got to do something about that. We can't have an antitrust go down the drain because we have about five or six carriers. other hand, is the Black Terror of France, the Black Terror of the French, the Black Terror of the rest, to kill us. But thanks to the deal of antitrust, our oil companies are fighting against each other, and each of the companies, the Russians pick them off, the Libyans pick them off, and so forth. There's got to be a coordinated, tight control of the oil companies. And antitrust interferes, we get into it. They talk Flanagan brings it in, they talk and so forth. But I go out. An oil man will talk real good, he'll go out the next day and cut somebody to pieces. Right. They're all basically, you know what they are. And you and I, Bill, have great friends in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
God, I love the Santa New Jersey guy, a great friend of mine, Nate. The fellows from Texas, the Texas guy, they're all supporters of our party. But at this particular point in our history, the United States has got to realize that we face a situation where we feel energy. We've got to speak as a government with one voice, and the other's all a piece of the action. So, what I am suggesting here, and I'm just talking about oil at the moment, is that I visualize this job as one where you will get into the relations with the major oil companies in terms of what they're going to do. You naturally will have to push the Alaska pipeline.
Yes, they will.
You naturally will have to get into the Middle East, which is good. I mean, let Bill go out. In other words, go out and talk to these idiots in the Middle East. When the Shah comes, I want to put you aside with him. I'm going to come on back now. I'm going to put him in an hour with Shah. Shah's becoming unreasonable. He's our only friend out in that area. They tell me, however, that the new Gulf states are like, you know, they're not bad. But gosh, the Libyans are crazy. The Iraqis are nuts. And you never know when the Algerians go crazy. And all of them, the Saudis. That's a weak read, though. That's a weak read because the leaders are right. John Connolly has represented a lot of what I look upon as Senator McClay Kennedy, would like to be the energy czar. Not me. May not work. You may be taking a hold of a problem. Committees may blow up. Venezuela is having a little election and they might come to see. The last pipeline might not get through. We may use more than we expected to, and so on and so forth. But the whole point is that there is in this world massive supplies of energy, enough to take care of all the needs of air conditioning, even the Congo. But what is needed is to get those supplies on. And what is needed in the United States at the moment is a man who looks at this whole picture, puts it all together so that we see with one voice and that we have one program. And look, you know you're a fellow. Good God, you ran the street of Pennsylvania. This sort of a thing. You'd love it. You really would. I say 18 hours a day because I must have been thinking that. What I'm simply saying is that it's something that requires the concentration of one man rather than somebody coming in from the outside, in and out. It just won't work. It won't work in and out. So, because all of the boys in the woodwork around here are all lying for power. And every time I turn around, Morton's in the plan. No, he wants to do it. Not his plan, but very good. You know, because, not because of Morton, but because his underlings really didn't know nothing about it. They just wanted interior deals. But there it is. It involves elk hills. It involves offshore drilling. It involves taxes. It involves antitrust. And it involves work. Is that a big enough challenge for you?
It certainly is.
I don't think you're going to get iron, but I'm trying to.
And I hope it's been doing very well. General Haney, the matter of talking about it, I said to him that you know what it is. The work that you have done in the foreign field is in my book, and I've written this to you on several occasions.
I know, your letters, I appreciate it.
The finest that I've ever known, and I think this is true, certainly of this century. To be able to decrease American international power, and at the same time, be able to enhance and to live its situation in the world, and at the same time, be able to understand what it's going to be in the future ahead of everybody else, is what you've done in the last 3 years to China Russia. It's really extraordinary. Everybody tells you this, but I think only some of us who still so many people are blinded by Vietnam. Vietnam is going to end one way or the other. It's not. Well, China and Russia are definitely more important than history books are written. It will be China and Russia we've been talking about.
You think so?
Yes. And now we're in a different position. And you recognize this almost before anybody did. You told me this, you know, in December of 1967. You may not remember that, but you did in your apartment in New York.
Well,
you told me again in March of 68 when you had me down there, again in June of 68 when you had me down.
What did I say?
You said four things. You said we've got to change our relationships with Western Europe because Johnson has left them go by the board for one reason or another, and he certainly did.
Bring back the red folder that has the latest letter from Brezhnev.
Because the second reason, it was nonsense for us to continue to be fighting so that we are the two superpowers, and although we always had to watch them very carefully, we had become some kind of accommodation. He told me, thirdly, that we had to end the Vietnam War. And you told me, fourthly, and I say to you perfectly openly, Mr. President, I really wasn't sure that you promised me we were going to do it, that we had to open the door of China.
You know, another fellow that remembers that, you might check those
three times.
You might check those with his Ed Brook. As I talked to Ed Brook about the China thing, too, I had thought about China a great deal, and let me tell you, it was much against my instincts. I didn't want them.
I know that.
And the bit leaders, as you would have wanted to, because I know these people. What you do? Could we let, for example, on China go? for the man sitting in this office today, when our bargaining position is so great, the Chinese can whisper their own major friend in the world when they come up. At a time when they're the most populous nation with one-fourth of potentially the most stable people in the world living there, and at a time when there are many nuclear powers, we allow this non-communication and isolation and let them out there at the world. So that 50 years from now, the man sitting in this chair will face a major nuclear power with 10 times the number of people we've got.
No way.
That's what it's all about. Nobody ever looks ahead. Well, I want you to know that if I take this job, I want this energy policy, as it fits in domestically, and even more importantly, in the long run, as it fits in with the whole international situation, that I want this to be Richard Nixon's policy.
I want it to be scrapped.
I know.
Now, I want that'll help us.
I want to make that very clear to you. It's a natural integration and implementation and follow-up of what you've already done. And that's what it ought to be.
Well, you're very kind.
But no, I'm not. I told you that, didn't I, sir? I mean, every word of it. It's extremely important that that's the way it be. You've done this remarkable thing in the last 3 years, and this is a follow-on, one of your three, other one you're doing next week, which is just vitally important. And you know, you gave me the opportunity of working a little bit with the salt business, and I just take my hat off to you.
Next week, let me tell you, comrade, it's a raise of confidence. We cannot reach a treaty with the U.S. as a weapon for an I-ready, but we're going to make a great step forward with our principles and send our good friend, State Department, Secretary of State, but this is not the time to make deals. I never believe in making a bad deal in a hurry. And you don't either. Let me say on this thing too, which I might not even have ever heard, but I will address my past. The point is, I will visualize Al, and as the bill gets into this, he is caught to give me the information. You ought to believe your elephant. Let's fix the image. I talked about Philippians and Ray and Creek. I was amazed to find that we get only 10% of the Eastern one, but it's 80% of Europe's requirements and 90% of Japan's. And therefore, we can say, well, if it's just the Europeans that got it, it doesn't matter. That's what the damn Suez War is all about. Did you say, wasn't it? And so I think the energy man, as I see the energy man, he's got to be plopped down there, right in the middle there, of that energy mass who has a few of these. Understand? I think Henry would be delighted, and I'd be still delighted with the Russians. Make much of it.
Absolutely. I'm not doing it.
You see, the difficulty we have today, we were thinking of Devon, who's a wonderful, fine man, you know, and excellent man. But Devon doesn't have the complete. This is big. You've got to use the bonus to say, well, I'm going to have a little bit of your power plant, which will produce a mountain, this and that. And he'll do that better than you might. But on the other hand, he will not understand the great international forces, the antitrust, et cetera, et cetera. I want an energy policy bill that's sweet, that where we think the world, it's going down to even pumping and raising it. What do you think about energy? And of course, that nice little fellow was strutting around and not going to say, why did the Soviet cancel this trip? That's a bug.
That's fine.
But he's got some bad, or they think it'll knock him over. And I'm not sure that they think it's anybody better. I think they'd like to jam right there. What did you think? Or did you get it
No, I think I don't know the reason for it. It may have something to do with the island's.
Oh, yeah. If any of them, he may have some blowhard speech by Benham's Islands back, which are not. See, when you get back, and slowly are about to get back, everything's a big deal. got to take care of a domestic problem, which is initial and immediate, and that is the whole problem of consumers not understanding what the situation is, and the necessity for being able to handle this very unfortunate pricing thing, which you've done last night, is just right.
Case by case.
believe. It's your believability that's very important here. Believability, and I want you to know I would not have to compromise that. I want you to be very close to me, I understand. And my hands are probably very close to yours. But I want you to be out there fighting the battle for, you know, for this country, for this problem, and so forth. Let the chips fall where they may. Now, you're going to have another problem. You're going to have to fight it. We gotta get Morton. Martin is wonderful, but he to get along with Slank, to get along with Dixie Ray, to get along with but it's so it's a politician's job. It's a politician's job. A politician who understands the nature of the problem. Oh, and to get along with Slate fans. But the other point I would say is, as you talk to Mary, it's going to be a lot of fun. And what I would like to have is that what I would like to do is to have Bill in a smaller group. You know, in a smaller group of meetings. Not much. Because I'd like to have him in, not because of energy, but he'd like to sit around. Now, Mel Ayers, Al Hayes, will have Bryce.
Yes, I tried to break. Yes.
That's about all. And if we did, and if we just sit around and kick around problems, because energy's going to be awful big in this, but if we got something coming up, you know, in some other area, we get energy with these on in and out and everything, which we'll find. And there's a lot of extracurricular activities. I don't mean they're reliable. Henry comes to a meeting, comes to a paper, meets them all. Pretty rare. This was a great triumph, Harrison's a triumph, not that it ends the war forever, but that it is an enormous improvement. And boy, you have never seen messages and stuff from two different cities unless you've been to messages in the last 4 days. Sal tells you, I just told him, two messages. The last day, we had 24 hours, and I said, I have to tell you, Mr. President, the event that you did not sign this.
Sir, you haven't got any commitments to Israel that's going to kill us in the Arab states.
Well, let's talk about it. I guess the three of us are talking about it. Every time you talk about Israel, it raises the decadence, you know, with a lot of domestic Jewish friends, of which I have a few. You have perhaps more. Second, it's an area where Henry, who is Jewish, is not trusted by the Arabs. I do trust him, but Henry is susceptible to Israeli pressure. He's susceptible. They put the country first, they're not crazy, but he is, and he knows it. Third, I am the first president in this office that, since Israel was recognized as a state, opposes nothing. And I won't do it absolutely nothing.
Yeah, but you've done everything you said you would do.
I've done everything, and I have their confidence up to this point. But now, we have come to the moment of truth, and I can assure you that on this one, we are going to get that we're going to do what we want. It's a very tough one because it's going to require a squeeze on them at an appropriate time. I'm going to talk directly about how he squeezes the Egyptians. What's got to happen here to enter in southern Egypt is some general principles fall. But the main thing I want you to know is that as far as Israel is concerned, if they come in and say, well, look, we have elections in October. Now that's their good God. And then we'll have elections in November, and that'll be another argument. There's an election every year, but we cannot let the mini-Israel explode. I feel strongly about it. Let me tell you. And the other thing is,
I think the American Jewish community has overplayed its hand. Take, for example, Israeli exit permits from Russia.
Yes.
We got everything out of the Russians. We got sure the Russians keep leaving. But, Bill, you can't ask the Russians to dismantle their system. The thing the Senate wanted to come here to approve was to say that the Russians, the others, would allow all minority groups who wanted to leave free exit rights. Well, that would have to be Russian. You'd have 40 million Ukrainians to take off. Really? Of course you can't do that. And on the Israeli thing, I told these Jewish groups here, I said, now look here. If you, as a result of your insistence on this right or on this bill of labor nations, if you destroy it, you will be responsible for destroying the greatest opportunity for a more peaceful world or possible production environments that we have had in our time. And I want to say so. I don't want the great anti-Semitism in this country, but I'll do it. I'll do it if they do that. Would you?
Sure.
I'm not going to take them.
Because they can go too far. On the other hand, we've got to have a secure Israel.
No. I've assured them of that.
I know.
See, that's the deal. Israel's going to be secure. We'll give them a guarantee. Probably with the Russians. We've gone all the way with Israel. I don't have any feeling that I'm concerned.
Right.
I've got to get them. They have got to get reasonable.
Couldn't have done more food than we've done.
I get every jet that I promise when I say I have. This country
you'll have.
This country. And they trust me. I know they, but they must not have the feeling that now, because of what we've done, we can do it forever. I keep telling Mrs. Mayor, I said, Madam Prime Minister, remember, time is not on your inside. I said, you can let the whole Arab world today. You can let them 5 years from now. You can let them 10 years from now. 20 years from now, they will have gone. So move now, make the best deal you can. And I should also add a Prime Minister, there's another fact. You can let them, unless the Russians send in technicians, pilots, etc. And then you're dead. Unless the United States holds the ground. It was a tough call.
What's happened to the show?
What the devil? We're seeing it. Well, I think it's because other people are making good deals, and the Shah's in the brain making good deals. Just as simple as that.
He's a very tough guy, and brave guy. He knows he's going to push for it.
Yeah. He's very tough. But we have something going for us there that's important. He's very friendly to me.
First, I just say he thinks very highly of you.
25 years.
Very highly of you. Remember when you sent me over there, and I had those 4 hours with him, that became extremely clear several months, And I think he's doing a damn good job getting the Persian Gulf in order, too.
Getting it in order. And also
he's
doing a good job.
Maybe he's doing
all
the country.
You know, he's had land reform and everything. That country, terror offers. I was there at 53. We had to breathe even another time. Today in that place blew the clock over.
That's what had the second highest percentage increase to gross national product in the last 12 years, next to Japan in the world.
It's a very enlightened comment.
Well, Bill, if you could do it, let me say this, that it would be a great service for your country. I mean, needless to say, I am not so uncandid as to say that I would appreciate it personally. I think we need you very much.
Very kind, sir.
There are other reasons. And third, I think you would like it. I mean, I think you'd like the challenge. The other thing is that the way I envision the job, it's not just sitting over there and that EOP and pumping around how much oil we got this week and whether or not the farmers out speak or get enough for their harvest of grains. What I have in mind is this big picture. With your assigning to an administrative way, we'll give you the people. Out in the government, you've got to use the people in the government, because they all are in it, and they're so sensitive about not being. You can do that, can't you?
I hope so.
you have that skill where you can let them think they're running it, but you that's what we have to do. They run the thing, but the basic strategy decisions have to be made here on the SNI. I don't want to make. I want you to come in and tell me what it is. I may have some judgments on some things due to the fact that I am somewhat familiar with international situations.
So,
but believe me, I don't know anything about situations at home. And a little about oil wells. You know, did a little of that work as a lawyer, but that's about all. And that's changed so much that we used to think of well, it was 4,000 feet deep was a hell of a well. Now they go down to 25,000 feet. You know, we drove, I set up a company once where we had a pretty good well, made some money. And we incorporated it and closed on for $25,000. $25,000 per mile away. And today, these guys talk about millions for one well, right?
Well, good luck with Mr. Brexman, sir.
Right. You can let us know tomorrow.
I will.
Right. Also, you might want to read this. This is sort of shows a tone of correspondence. It's just about where the research is saying. So what do you do? It's a rather cute one. It is not.
Thank you.